because they've decided they're not going to grow old, right? They're going to remain as children. In this way, wandering, the four Kumaras, they're not just wandering through somebody's apartment, but they're wandering throughout the universe. And they enter even into the spiritual world. And they wander into Vaikuntha, into the spiritual realm. So this chapter, which is chapter 15 of the third canto, describes how the four Kumaras enter into the kingdom of God. And we have very nice descriptions of what exactly the kingdom of God is like. You know, we're very fortunate in the Vedic literatures that we have descriptions about the spiritual world. If you, in any other religious tradition, they have no idea what the kingdom of God is like. I remember His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, who passed away some years back, unfortunately. He was preaching in the Philippines, which is a Catholic country. So he arranged a meeting with the cardinal, one cardinal there. Now, cardinal is almost, it's just below the Pope. The Pope is the head of the Catholic Church, and just below the Pope is the cardinal. So in the Philippines, there was one Cardinal Sin. Sin, Chinese name. So Tamal Krishna Goswami arranged to meet him, and he was talking, he asked him questions like, what is the kingdom of God like? You know, can you tell us in your theology, in your religious tradition, what is it like in the kingdom of God? And the cardinal has to say, we have no information. Don't know anything. You know, they speak about God, going, you know, going to heaven, but they have no idea what it would be like there. There's nothing, no information. And that's true also in other religions. But in the Vedic scriptures, in Srimad Bhagavatam, you see we have actual factual information. Now people may challenge that, how do you know this is true? Have you ever been there? Have you ever seen this? You see, these are all skeptics. People who, they can't accept things, they have no faith. But they do not understand the Vedic process of acquiring knowledge is not by empirical study. It's not pratyaksha, but it's shabda. We have to hear. We cannot experience the spiritual world by our senses, but we can hear about the spiritual world from the Vedic literatures. This is important. We have to have faith in these Vedic literatures. These Vedic scriptures are authentic. They're perfect knowledge. They come from the Lord Himself. It's divine knowledge. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have information how the four Kumaras enter into the spiritual world, into Vaikuntha. There are different sections within the spiritual world. Just as within the material world, we have different levels of existence, right? Our earth planet is situated in the level of 14 different levels, 14 different divisions of planetary systems. The earth planet is situated on number 7, in the 7th level, intermediate, you know, somewhere in the middle there of the universal system. Below, you have the hellish planets, you know, Patala Loka, Kumbhaka Loka, and all different types of hellish existence. And as we go above Earth, above the Earth planet, we come to places like Swarga Loka. And in Swarga Loka, there is Janaloka, Tapalaloka, Mahaloka, Brahmaloka. These places, these are higher planetary systems. As we go up in the within the material world, the duration of life is longer, greater life, but the bodies are also becoming subtle. We're on the earth planet, we have earthly bodies, but as you go up to the higher planets, the bodies are more subtle. And of course, in the spiritual sky, once you come through the higher planets into the spiritual sky, then it's spiritual, right? You give up both the gross and subtle body and enter into the spiritual sky. So the four Kumaras, they're able to enter into the spiritual sky. Great yogis can also enter in there. We know, like Durvasa, he'd also gone there into the spiritual sky. He was not a pure devotee, but he was a great yogi. And by his yoga powers, he was able to enter into the spiritual sky. He was being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra at the time of him offending Ambarish Maharaj. So Durvasa Muni was trying to get relief from that Sudarshan Chakra, and he entered into the spiritual sky to approach Lord Narayan or Lord Vishnu to ask him to save him from the Sudarshan Chakra. Of course, Lord Vishnu said, "I can't help you. You have to go back to the devotee." So Durvasa came back again. He went into the spiritual sky, but he couldn't stay there. That's the point. The great yogis, they may enter into the spiritual sky, but they can't stay there. So here we see the four Kumaras. They are also not completely pure devotees. They are Sakama devotees. They're Brahmagyanis. They're entering the spiritual sky, but they're also not going to stay there. We will see. When they entered into the spiritual sky, they saw the beautiful palaces and the wonderful constructions which were all there within the Vaikuntha lokas. Vaikuntha planets are very opulent. Everyone there has four arms. Has anybody here got four arms? Everyone there has got four arms. All the inhabitants of the spiritual world are all engaged in devotional service without any thought of sense gratification. It's described that in the Vaikuntha planets, there are many, many goddesses of fortune. They're all very, very beautiful. The women also have their husbands. It's not that you have to be a yogi there. You don't have to be an ascetic. The ladies also have their husbands. And they fly together in aeroplanes, mystic aeroplanes. You know, you don't need passports or anything. They all have mystic power. They have their different powers. But none of the men are lusty. That's also mentioned. There's no sex desire in the spiritual world. People are pure in thought. They're enjoying much superior pleasure than any pleasures of the material world. It's described that in the spiritual world, there are also many beautiful flowers which are very fragrant. But one flower is most prominent over all other flowers. That is Tulsi. The Tulsi tree is the most respected of all the flowers. Of course, there are trees which are Kalpa Briksha trees, can fulfill everyone's desires. You can get any kind of fruit from any tree. They can produce even anything you may desire. But the devotees there have no material desire. They don't desire any wealth of any kind. They simply desire flowers and fruits to worship the Lord with. It's described that there are many different types of birds there also. But all of these birds, they sing different songs, but they stop their singing to hear the bees, because the bees are vibrating the glories of the Supreme Lord. So all of the other birds, they also want to hear the King of the Bees describe the pastimes and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maitreya remarks that he regrets that unfortunate people do not discuss the descriptions of the Vaikuntha planets, but engage in topics which are unworthy to hear and which bewilder one's intelligence. Those who give up the topics of Vaikuntha to talk of the material world are thrown into the darkest region of ignorance. Prabhupada remarks, we have to become fascinated with these descriptions of the spiritual world. You know, just like people are fascinated with descriptions of places far away in this planet. And some people dream of going to, you know, Australia or America or something, Europe or something like this, you know. They see the pictures in the travel agency and they think, oh, it looks so nice, they want to go there. In the same way, as devotees, we should be, you know, we keep our pictures of the spiritual world. These different pictures of Krishna's pastimes. Prabhupada said these are all windows to the spiritual world. And, you know, we should also be dreaming about going there, entering into the spiritual world, where we can actually see all of these different pastimes of Krishna taking place. So, there are different places according to our devotion. Some people go to Vaikuntha, like the four Kumaras. Some may enter into Ayodhya. Devotees of Lord Ramachandra can enter into Ayodhya, which also has a division in the spiritual world. Some people are very attracted to Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka with Rukmini. Dwarka is also there in the spiritual world. Similarly, Mathura is also there. But above that is the supreme abode, Goloka. Goloka for Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, of course, Krishna is not in his forearm form, but he is in his two-arm form. The forearm form of Krishna is known as Vasudev Krishna, but the two-arm form is Shamsundar Krishna. And in Goloka Vrindavan, there's also the place of Navadvip, where Lord Chaitanya is having his pastime. So according to every devotee's particular qualification and desire, they can enter into that particular place and join the pastimes of Lord Krishna. There are many, many planets within the Vaikuntha realm. And all of the planets of Vaikuntha are very opulent. The Lord is worshipped there with great awe and reverence. So the four Kumaras enter the spiritual sky. They pass through six different entrances, one after another, and no one stopped them. No one said anything to them. But when they came to the seventh entrance, there were two gatekeepers there. Jai and Vijay were there, and they stopped them. They obstructed this. They would not allow them to enter into that place. When Jai and Vijay blocked the passage of the four Kumaras became angry. Prabhupada explains that in the spiritual world, there is also anger. We may be thinking, oh, then it's all right, I can also get angry. But anger should be used in the service of Krishna and for our devotional service. We should be very careful about how we use anger. Right? Arjuna used anger in the service of Krishna. Hanuman also used his anger in the service of Lord Ram. So anger has its use, but we must be careful. Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna said, three gates leading to hell. Right? Lust, anger, and greed. Anger is the younger brother of lust. From lust comes anger. From anger, illusion. From illusion, madness. One's intelligence is bewildered. One falls into the material pool. So anger can degrade one. Anger must be very carefully controlled. The four Kumaras are great sages. Their becoming angry was not ordinary. Not like our anger. Actually, this whole pastime of the four Kumaras entering into Vaikuntha and their way being blocked by Jai and Vijay and their becoming angry is all the arrangement of the Supreme Lord for higher purpose. So when Jai and Vijay block the way, the four Kumaras become angry and they decide that these two persons must be imposters. They don't belong in the spiritual world. If they were genuine inhabitants of the spiritual world, why would they restrict us from entering? So the four Kumaras decide that they'd have no right to be here. They must be imposters. And they decide that we will curse them, that they should leave this place. So at that time, Jai and Vijay realize that they have made some offense and they feel very guilty. They feel sorry and they request the four Kumaras that if you are going to curse us, that we have to leave this place. We just request you that we can soon return, or that we will never forget the Lord, that even though we may have to leave here, we request you, please arrange that we will never forget the Supreme Lord. So in this way, the four Kumaras, they issue their curse against Jayan Vijay. At that time, then Lord Padmanabha comes along with the goddess of fortune. Lord Padmanabha has come because, of course, he's aware of the incident. He knows everything. He's a super soul in every living entity's heart. So he has come to adjust the situation and to pacify the minds of Jayan Vijay. Jayan Vijay are feeling very sorry because they've been cursed by these brahmanas, these four kumaras and brahmanas, and they've issued their curse to take Jayan Vijay out of the spiritual world and cast them into the material world. But Lord Padmanabha comes and explains that this is his pastime, for this is his arrangement. And he explains why. That Lord Vishnu or Lord Padmanabha, he wants that the Jayan Vijay will enter into the material world to take part further in his pastimes. That when they become demons, they will be able to have a good fight with Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu wants to enjoy a good battle. In the spiritual world, nobody will fight with him because everyone's a devotee. Not going to get any good fight there. So he has to arrange for some of his devotees to go into the material world, and then they can give him a good battle. This is his arrangement, that these two gatekeepers who are his servants, that they will for some time go into the material world. They had the choice that they could become devotees, but they would have to remain there for 7 births. But if they become demons, then they only have to take 3 births. So they thought, better we become demons, then we can come back to Godhead quicker. So they took, this was a decision that they would become demons, and then in this way they will fight with the Lord. It's also described, why did the four Kumaras have to leave the spiritual world? Another reason was that on one occasion, Lakshmi, because Lakshmi has her own devotees, so sometimes she has to go to serve, to see her devotees, and she has to go to give some blessings. On one occasion, when she was returning, at that time Jayan Vijay had blocked Lakshmi's passage. They told her, the Lord is resting, you cannot enter. They stopped the Lord's consort. So the goddess of fortune was not pleased with the behavior of Jayan Vijay. But they would not let her join her husband. And as a result of this, they were cursed by Lakshmi. And this was the curse that they had, Jayan Vijay would fall into the material world. So everything has some cause behind it. Nothing happens by chance. We have to see. And the ultimate cause of everything is the Supreme Lord. And in the spiritual world, everything is certainly for the pleasure of the Lord. So the four Kumaras entering the spiritual world was also the arrangement of the Lord. It gave the four Kumaras an opportunity to also purify their existence. Because the four Kumaras were Brahmagyanis. They were not actually situated in devotional service. Although they were the sons of Brahma, they had heard about devotional service and they had heard the glories of the Lord, but they had no realization of it. They were not actually convinced. They had no real faith. Therefore, they simply remained as Brahmagyanis. Their knowledge was incomplete. But when they actually came to the spiritual world, and when the Lord came forward to meet the four Kumaras, at that time, the four Kumaras were able to relish the aroma of the tulsi leaves and the sandalwood, which was decorating the lotus feet of the Lord. And the aroma from the tulsi leaves and sandalwood entered their nostrils. And at that time, they experienced a change in body and mind. Then they knew what is devotion. So this was a very significant event in the life of the four Kumaras. That this is how they became devotees. They had heard about the Lord, but they'd never seen him. They had no realization of it. But now they've come to the spiritual world. They have the chance to actually become devotees. Just like Sukadeva Goswami was in the womb of his mother for many years. He didn't want to come out. He was fixed in Brahman. He was also a Brahmagyani. But when he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, then he became convinced. These two examples are there. The four Kumaras, Sukadeva Goswami. They were both Brahmagyanis, but they became devotees. We don't see devotees becoming Brahmagyanis or impersonalists. Devotee. So devotional service is the highest level of realization on the platform, on the different levels of yoga. Bhakti yoga is the topmost level of yoga. So the four Kumaras have the opportunity to hear Lord Padmanabha's instructions. And Lord Padmanabha glorifies the Brahmanas. He says that anybody who harms a Brahmana, then he said that, first of all, Lord Padmanabha said he apologizes to the four Kumaras. That my two assistants have upset you and made you angry. And you are Brahmanas. He said, anyone who offends the Brahmanas, then they're doing the greatest offense. The Brahmanas are so dear to me. He glorifies the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras are bewildered. They're surprised that we're feeling bad, that we've cursed your two attendants to leave the spiritual world. And, you know, we feel guilty. We shouldn't have done it. We shouldn't have been so angry. We shouldn't have got so angry. We had no right to get angry and curse the four Kumaras to go to the material world. They're your devotees also. We shouldn't have got angry at them. You know, we should never get angry at a devotee, right? We must always have loving dealings with the devotees. Speaking about loving dealings. So, the four Kumaras were thinking they had done wrong, but Lord Vishnu starts glorifying them that you're Brahmanas. And Lord Vishnu apologizes, my servants have offended you, I am guilty. They're my workers, they're my attendants, so I am responsible for offending you. And Lord Padmanabha is apologizing to the four Kumaras like this. The four Kumaras are bewildered that, no, it's our fault, that we shouldn't have got angry, we should have understood that they're your devotees. We had no right to curse them. This is all the loving dealings between the Lord and His devotees. The four Kumaras apologize to the Lord. They feel that they should be punished for getting angry and for cursing devotees. You know, if a devotee gets angry with you, what should you do? Should you curse them back? No. Yeah? If a devotee gets angry and curses us, we should accept it with a smile. Thank you, Prabhu. I deserve it. We see the example. Maharaj Chitraketu was cursed by Mother Parvati. Maharaj Chitraketu laughed at Lord Shiva because he was embracing his wife in front of an assembly of great sages. And Chitraketu mildly laughed at, Lord Shiva is supposed to be so renounced. Look at him embracing his wife. Parvati took the joke in a wrong way. She was quite upset. And she said, she cursed him that he should take birth as a demon, as a Rakshasa, great demon. Next life, Chitraketu became Vritrasura. So Parvati, when she issued this curse on Chitraketu, Chitraketu simply said, thank you, mother. You know, he didn't get angry, he didn't get upset. He didn't say, I don't deserve this, you have no right to do this to me. You know, he just accepted it. Yes, mother, if this is your desire, then you can curse me in this way. This is devotee. Devotee will accept such things. It takes two people to argue. If somebody gets angry, don't get angry back. Two wrongs don't make a right. Right? If somebody gets angry at you, tolerate. Touch their feet, humbly smile at them and say, I'm very sorry, I've upset you, I've no right to upset you, I'm an offender. You're right to curse me. Must be humble. This is it. Vaishnava etiquette. To tolerate these different situations. Devotee can tolerate Trinadapi Sunichena Tararapi Saishna. How tolerant? More tolerant than the tree. And then Lord Brahma's prayer is also there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Tatenu Kampam Sushamikshamana Punjana Ivatma Kritam Vipakam Rig Bhagvaput Vir Vibhidan Namaste Jiveta Yomukti Pade Sadayabhak. That you become Dayabhak, you become qualified to enter into the kingdom of God when you can tolerate all of this. You tolerate different situations as the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. Just like Jai and Vijay, they have to tolerate, they have to go, and they have to leave the spiritual world. They have to go into the material world and become demons. But they will come back soon. It's arranged that they'll come back soon. In the same way, we hope we will also go back soon. Right? We're here in this material world. Let's hope we won't be here for long. We should have our plan to go back to Godhead. This is our real business as devotees. Right? Prabhupada would say, finish up your business. Right? Don't keep doing your business in this material world. Finish up the business. Get it over with. Go back to Godhead. The real life is there. Not in this material world. This is the place of suffering. Dukhalaya, Ashaswatam, temporary place of suffering. So we have to be convinced, we should be thinking always like this, planning, thinking, one day we will be there with Krishna. We are preparing ourselves for that by practicing our Krishna consciousness here, by regularly chanting, by discussing topics of Krishna and associating with the devotees, all of these different activities. This is the business of devotees. Our activities here will be the same there. What we're doing here will become the same thing there in the spiritual world. For a devotee, it doesn't make any difference, heaven or hell, or the spirit, the kingdom. It's all the same. Wherever he goes, we will simply serve Krishna. So the four Kumaras, they are happy. They've been blessed with the darshan of the Supreme Lord. They've been enthused to take up devotional service. They go off to continue their travels. And Jayan Vijay, they have to enter into the material world. But not for long. They will soon come back again. Are there any questions? Four arms and by
clinical. No subtle body nowadays.
They have spiritual bodies. They have spiritual bodies, not subtle bodies, but spiritual bodies.
How to visualize
spiritual body. We have pictures here, you can see the pictures. Spiritual body means they have a form. It doesn't mean it's a ghost or anything. When we say spiritual body, we mean it's pure. But it's not made of, spiritual bodies are not made of blood and bones, not made of matter. But they're made, their spiritual bodies are Satchit Ananda, full of bliss and knowledge eternally. How to visualize? The artist's impressions are here to help us visualize. You know, you can see the pictures there. I said these pictures are all windows to the spiritual world. These artists have drawn all these paintings under the instructions, the information given from the scriptures, just to help us visualize spiritual bodies. There are bodies. But they're spiritual, just like when Krishna comes in this world 5,000 years ago. Or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago. He doesn't have a material body. He has a spiritual body.
Maharaj, I have two questions. One, you said that generally the impersonalists, they are more entry into the spiritual world.
A devotee, once they go there, they don't come back. But these yogis like Durvasa, they can go there, they come back. They're different. They go there by their yoga powers, by their yogic achievements. The four Kumaras, they're the sons of Brahma. The very exalted personalities. They can travel everywhere. And they can travel also into the spiritual sky. But where do they go? They go to the door, right? They only get as far as the doorway. They don't get to go in. They only enter to the doorway and then they come back. It's like that. They didn't actually enter right in. If you go to the doorway, it's not the same as coming right into the apartment. You're standing at the door. You keep someone at the door, it's not the same as bringing them into the apartment. So the four Kumaras entered to the doorway. They met the Lord there, and then they came back. They were not offenders. And Darvasa, he also comes there. He can enter, but he cannot stay. He has to come back. Because without being devotee, they have no relationship. They won't be happy there in the spiritual world. Because the activities are just there for, the activities are for devotees. Just like, you know, somebody who's not a devotee, they come to a temple, they go to Mayapur or something like that, they feel a bit lost there, they don't feel comfortable because all the activities are devotional. They don't want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. They don't want to go to Mangal Arati. They don't join the Kirtan. They don't like Prasadam. So they don't feel very satisfied in a place like Mayapur. They may go there, but how long will they stay? Because we're following Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya is teaching everyone to worship Radha and Krishna. So we're trying for the highest destination for Goloka. But it may not be that everyone is situated in Goloka. But it would take some time before we know exactly what relationship or what position we have in relation to the Lord and His abode. Some people may be devotees more, they may be more situated in relationship to worshipping Lord, like the Lord in one of His forms, such as Lord Ramachandra. Some people are devotees of Lord Narasimha. Some people are totally absorbed in Chaitanya Leela, very attractive, worshipping Lord Chaitanya. Some people worship Jagannath. Some people worship Jagannath in the mood of Vrindavan, and others worship Jagannath in the mood of Dwarka or Kurukshetra. People have different understand, they're attracted to the Lord in different ways. But we're following Lord Chaitanya at this point. We're following the Lord Chaitanya, and all the followers of Lord Chaitanya, they worship Radha and Krishna. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita example is there, how Lord Chaitanya told Murari Gupta to give up the worship of Lord Ram and just worship Radha and Krishna. So then the next morning, Murari Gupta came back and said, I will have to give up my life. I cannot give up my worship of Lord Ram. So then Lord Chaitanya accepted, okay, you are Hanuman. You can worship Lord Ram. You don't need to give up your worship. So if one has very deep attachment for the Lord in some other form than Radha and Krishna, one can continue, one can do that. But generally, Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis, they're all worshipping Radha and Krishna. That's the supreme form. in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's described about Gopkumara going back to Godhead. And it comes to different situation, different levels, going back to Godhead. And he has to adjust from one place to another until he finds the place which is right for him. So we don't know, you know, we're still neophyte, at least as far as I'm concerned. I don't know about you, but you know, I haven't realized my exact relationship with Krishna and the spiritual world, but I'm following Prabhupada and Prabhupada's instructions to us that you go on, you serve Krishna in this way, worship Radha and Krishna, and one day it will be revealed. Yeah, there's impressions of time. There are impressions of time. It's not as we know time in this world, but there's the impressions of time. There's, you know, the Lord just could arrange darkness just simply by his own mystic power. But generally said, everything is self-illuminating. Everything, not only the Lord is, but everything is self-illuminating there. Different leelas are taking place. The Lord is going off in the morning, taking the cows to the forest, and coming home in the evening. So there's some influence of time. But it's not like time in this world. In this world, time controls everything and degrades everything. You know, if your car was not influenced by time, you wouldn't have to get a new car all the time. It'd be nice, huh? But in the spiritual world, time doesn't decay anything. But in this world, it does. Things get older. You have to get new clothes. The bodies also age because of time. But in the spiritual world, there's no influence of time. It's mentioned that Jai and Vijay were the same age. And it says that in the spiritual world, everyone is the same age. There's no old age there. Everyone's the same age. You know, here you have young people and middle-aged people and old people. But in the spiritual world, everyone's the same age. Time doesn't act the same way. So, how much? Of course, we can't speculate too much about exactly what it's like. You know, sometimes people ask, "What about? Do you have to evacuate? Do you have to? You know, do you have to use the bathroom and things like that in the spiritual? You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, you have to. Well, maybe when you go back to Godhead, you'll find out about these things. You know? Not very important. Any other questions? Anyone has any questions?